All right, welcome into the latest Mountain West Connection podcast, non-football edition. We're talking hoops, man. Hoops is here.
Hoops is back.
That's right. That voice there, it's not Matt Kennerly because he's a football dude mostly. And bringing in our guru who did the top 25 list, I apologize for not getting my list into you, Eli. But Eli Boettger. That's correct, right? Boettger?
Betker.
Yeah. Oh, geez.
We'll
leave it in. We'll leave it in because I'm terrible and I don't care about anything. But Eli Boettger, sorry. These are things I should ask beforehand, right?
I think we're set.
We're good.
I think we did it last time.
Oh, sorry. Well, it's been a while.
We're good. Once we get back in the routine, we'll be all set.
Exactly. So he's one of our basketball guys. He's been doing the top 25 list. We'll discuss over that. Apparently, a few people were not happy of Cameron Oliver's positioning, but we'll get to that later. Number two is pretty good. Come on. What's there to argue about?
Guess they want to have number one. You got to have number one.
You're the Muscleman, right?
Yep.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. So first off, tell everybody your Twitter handle so I don't screw that up as well.
Okay, so Twitter handle is Boettger and then underscore Eli.
Perfect. So follow him if you want some Purdue football takes occasionally.
Yeah, occasionally.
Pac-12 stuff because you do some pacifictakes.com basketball and bracket stuff. So I saw your first bracket out really quick. We'll just start with that. You have, I believe you had just one Mountain West team like everybody else.
Yep. I had San Diego State as a 9 seed. So that's pretty standard for what everyone else is doing. I think Lenardi either had them as a 9 or a 12. I saw San Diego State as a 12. Maybe that was a USA Today one. But they're right in that 9 to 12 range that they were last year.
So with the conference being pretty bad, let's kind of jump around a bit. What do you think they need to do to, first off, don't lose the conference title game to Fresno? First of all, that's one thing you want to make sure you're back. But what will it take for two teams? Because my biggest gripe for the tournament committee, and we're not going to spend a ton on that bracket stuff, but Gary Parrish of CBS always hypes on this all the time. Top 50 wins is what they consider so much.
Yep.
But there's not a difference, in my opinion, in his and most people, and probably yours, 45 to 60. They're probably, maybe even 70, the same thing, but the Mountain West can't get those wins.
Yeah, exactly. And it's really difficult for, not San Diego State, but for the Mountain West Conference to rack up these top 50 wins when they come up short in non-conference play. And that's why I think you have so many analysts hype up non-conference play in this season, and many fans aren't even paying attention to college basketball yet with all the bowl games and whatnot going on. But these are the games in November and December. We already have a couple this week could play a huge part in determining whether the Mountain West can get back to having multiple teams in the tournament. So I also am not a huge fan of the whole top 50 win argument, because that could be beating the number 5 team on the road, or that could be the 50th team at home. So yeah, it's just how it is with the committee now. But I think it's important that the Mountain West coaches really beef up their schedule. And I think they're aware of that, to schedule as many difficult games as they can, because worst case scenario, even if they lose against these top teams, their RPI won't suffer. So that'll be beneficial towards moving towards the NCAA tournament. So I think that'll help.
Yeah, you just can't. The opportunities aren't there because Syracuse is always in the bubble. Oh, they played 18 top 50 win games.
Yeah,
they won
exactly.
They won four of them or something. Mm-hmm. So, but let's get to some teams. Your list really quick. Well, let's go to the media day stuff, the ranking. I assume we don't need to spend more than a minute on San Jose State. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I like a few other pieces that they have, and I think they're getting a little bit better. They can't really get much worse at this point, but they're getting better. They've got some decent scores on their team, but I think that's fair to say that they'll probably finish last in the conference.
With Air Force, because there's people who say they could be, I think like in KenPom and some other BPI stuff, they're like middle of the pack, like 140-ish, I want to say, which for them, because isn't there 330 college basketball teams, something like that?
We've got 351.
350, that's so many.
Yeah,
so Air Force hasn't been good in forever. What'd you put one or two players on the list from Air Force, I believe?
I had Hayden Graham.
Yeah.
He's a good scorer. I had him at number 12 and had Trevor Lyons in at 20. And I think CJ Siples might have gotten a vote or two, but not for the top 25. So I think they return a lot of talent and they return a lot of scoring. They have an abundance of 3-point shooters on their team. But I think they could have a chance to finish towards the middle of the pack. I've seen some Some people think that they might finish top six, top seven. I think that's it's possible, but if
They haven't been good for a while, though.
yeah, they haven't. And if I don't know how much you can really hype up returning talent when the talent hasn't really done a whole lot. So Air Force had a long losing streak last season that put them in bottom part of the conference, but they did play pretty well in their quarterfinal game against UNLV.
Triple
And they
overtime.
have, what's that?
Triple overtime game. I'm pulling it up
Yeah,
here. 108, 102. That's crazy.
that was wild. And it seems like every time I watch them play, they either win or they or play pretty well. So I haven't seen the bad side of Air Force a whole lot, so it kind of changes what my perspective is on them. But I think that they have some good leadership and they could be a decent team this year.
Yeah, I think with them normally it's like they want to go, let's kind of look at some points from last year. They give up a lot of points occasionally, like they give up 100, what, twice? I guess a triple overtime game shouldn't really count too much when you get
Still a
next
lot of points, though.
15 minutes, yeah. But like they have some stuff. They beat UNLV. I know UNLV is a mess last year. They beat them. They beat New Mexico, who is not going to be, or is going to be better this year than last year. But they're a team where if they can keep it in the 50s, that's a kind of 50 to 70 is kind of where they want to be. But whatever, they're not going to be very good this year. They're going to be maybe 500, maybe.
I think that's fair. I think they might be in that 15 to 17 win range.
Because looking at who they play, like they play, they're one of the teams where Craig Thompson's like, "Hey, schedule better teams. Don't schedule, let's see,
Exactly.
Stetson, Florida A&M, Johnson and Wales."
Yeah, and some of the yeah, Johnson and Wales, some teams I've never even heard of before, but it's a chance to get some wins on the schedule, so that could boost the confidence for the team.
That'll help them. And then we're just going to run through these really quick, each team. Wyoming, actually, I thought they'd be higher. 10th, they have a new head coach. They don't have Larry Shyatt anymore. Where did he end up? I forget. Did he actually go to the NBA? Is that where he went?
I want to say he's an assistant somewhere.
We should look this up beforehand.
Let's see. I can't say for sure. Yeah, he's assistant coach for the Mavericks right now.
Mavericks.
So.
It's an interesting move. But they have Andy Allen Edwards they brought within. And losing Josh Allen, everybody lost. I think this is a year where some people are still high on them because of a few guys who can score. But ever since losing Larry Nance, then Adam Allen last year, they're one of the teams you can't get anybody to come to Wyoming because who wants to go to what is it, Auditorium Arena? Is that what it's called?
Yeah,
The most
in
vanilla,
Laramie.
the most vanilla name ever for a stadium. You
Yeah.
cannot get anybody there, and so they're what do you like? New head coach, losing their best player the past couple of years. I don't see them be ninth. Oh, what are they? Actually, 10th might be generous. I think everybody's better than San Jose, but you never know.
Yeah, I think Wyoming might just be a little tick better than San Jose State, and they have a really solid returning player in Jason McManaman. I think he's probably the most efficient scorer in the whole conference, but he's a senior this year, and once he graduates, then they really have to start over, and it's just a big rebuilding process. Like you said, Nance is gone, Adams is gone, so it'll be interesting to see what Wyoming does. They should be able to score pretty well. Let's see. Allen Herndon was also in the top 25 at number 22, so he's a decent player. That pick was made mostly on potential. We'll see what he does, but Wyoming, for the most part, is probably 10th or 11th in the conference.
Yeah, we'll see McMahon. I mean, he scored pretty well, almost made 45% of his three-pointers. So he needs to get well above that 14 point. Get to 20, maybe 22 to pull off some of those upsets they may or may not have. But all right, so let's go back in order here. Let's actually get in order of the preseason from the media or coaches, whoever made the pick, media. UNLV, can we just laugh at the Rebels? Is it okay?
Oh man, yeah, Athlon Sports put them in last.
Last place.
Yeah, they put them in last. So I don't think they'll be that bad, but it's definitely unusual territory for the Rebels.
Yeah, they got Marvin Menzies, new head coach, if you don't know. That fiasco with Chris Beard last year, and it was just a mess. It was,
That was nuts.
and they lost, I think, I guess technically players who were on the roster. Didn't they lose like six, I think? I want to say maybe eight.
I know that they have only two returning players from last season,
Yikes.
and I think they averaged somewhere between 5 and 6 points a game. So they've got a lot of work to do. But the recruiting's still been fine. Menzies has brought in a lot of 4-star, 3-star players, so it shouldn't be too long until UNLV's relevant again. But It won't be this year.
Okay, let me ask you this. I'm looking at Ray Brewer from the Las Vegas Sun. Here is what he says a successful season would be for the Rebels, and I might have a hard time agreeing with this. Beating Nevada at home, having a record above 500, and winning one game in the conference tournament.
I think that might be attainable. I don't know. They don't match up well against Nevada at all.
No.
Talent-wise, and it's a really, really young team with Tyrell Green. He's a senior. He's a decent player. They got Dwayne Morgan back, but like I said, these are all players that are about 5 to 7 point range, and so they'll see a lot of rotation in the roster. I think Nicole's mentioned that too, that there really isn't a lot of pieces that are ready to play right now, but we'll see if Menzies can develop them.
We'll see, because right now I'm looking here just more. He put like 13 things of what to watch for. I guess there's still some injuries. Morgan's still not doing, is still kind of nursing. As Chicken Al Dembele?
Yeah, he's from, I want to say Kenya. He's a top recruit, and he should be pretty solid, but he's really raw and not ready to go right now.
Yeah, it looks like also, like you said, thin bench, 8 rotation players looks like to be, at least at the beginning. And so here's what I think with Rebels. It's going to be an up and down. They might surprise every now and then, but I think there's going to be more bad losses. There are going to be, big wins. Like, they might be able to hang around for a little bit because reading from this, and everybody conditioned, so it's not like they're the only team running sprints and getting stronger cardio, but I'm thinking there will be a couple of games here or there, get some people excited. Like, they have that Duke game, they'll get run out of T-Mobile Arena, most likely by 40 points or something. But I think with what Menzies did in Mexico State, this is basically his almost, not the exact same roster, but exact same, I guess, talent-wise, I would say, because they're raw and young. Because in New Mexico State, who are you getting to come there? They had that giant guy who was 7'6" or something.
Yeah, he was really good. He went to the pros this last season.
I think I drafted. Yeah, but the talent, like if you look at talent wise to what he normally has at New Mexico State to this, I kind of see it being a little bit similar just because of all the new players coming in, and he has experience with that type of stuff. So I think he can get this team together, but getting to 500, I don't, winning a game. I guess the cop out is if you're in that preliminary game and not technically the first round. That's what I guess that's kind of a cop out.
Yeah, exactly. Victory.
If you're playing, that was it the three? Forget how they do. I think there's the three games. But like looking who they play, they got South Alabama. Let me pull up their whole schedule really quick because they schedule up obviously, and that's a problem a little bit. So you got Duke, Arizona State, Oregon, Kansas, three top five teams in a month. That December schedule is brutal. Even Southern Illinois, that MAC game, or they're not MAC, sorry, Missouri Valley. But they do mix in Incarnate World. That's a victory right there. December 14th.
Yeah, there's one. It's very, very challenging non-conference schedule, though.
Even TCU's okay. They go face their former, Todd Simon at Southern Utah. Road game somehow. I don't know how that got pulled off, but road game to Southern Utah. It's only an hour drive or so, but still, it's like, okay. 500, I don't see it, man.
Because I don't see them finishing 500 in the conference, even close to that. They might win maybe 5-6 games in conference, but with that extremely difficult non-conference schedule, I don't see that happening either. They'll probably finish maybe around 13-14 wins.
I see 6 wins in conference play, and it's all against the bottom teams because they play Wyoming twice, Air Force twice, and San Jose twice. And those are all I think could be winnable games.
They should win those.
At least road games, this conference, it's always road games are nuts and crazy. Home court's huge. So I could, they may not win all 6, but I could see 4 of those 6 and possibly winning all 6. But that might be the only 6 conference wins I'm comfortable saying, yeah, they could win that.
I think that's fair.
But I don't want to bash on what's the old coach, Dave Rice, too much, because people did not like our comments last year about Dave Rice, where he basically inbounds plays late in the game. No, let's run a random screen for a 30-foot 3-pointer against Fresno, home game. That not 30 feet, but deep three NBA range. No, it's he just
there like, are some head scratchers. Definitely, he was good at recruiting, but just as far as pointing out the X's and O's for the team, and they had that I think it was a late loss to. Might have been Boise last year,
Was that the clock game? That was weird.
That was against Colorado State. Oh, okay. Maybe I'm thinking the San Diego State Boise game. But either way, he's had some falters down the stretch. So I think UNLV is ready to turn the page with Menzies, and I don't think it's a bad hire. Simon would have probably been. It was a little bit of a risk, but might have been worked out. But it's what it is now, and it's Menzies, so we'll see if they can figure it out.
All right. Yes. Next team will go up the list. CSU. Got good old Larry Eustace back at Ram. What's his year four for him?
I believe so.
He's been there for a while. He's done pretty good things after being out of purgatory for his issues at Iowa State. But this team, a couple years ago, weren't. I think their last tournament berth was when Mountain West had five teams in. So it's been a couple years. Fifth year, looks like, heading into year five. What can you tell me about this team? Because the Rams, just like football, the basketball team, I'm like, maybe? Could be good?
Yeah, that's what it is right now, I think, for Colorado State. They're really fortunate to get Gene Clavel back, who could score anywhere between 20 and 25 points per game. And he was really productive last year. I read a few articles about him really taking a look at the team from the sidelines, being a leader, really doing the things that he should be doing. They've got Emmanuel Mogbo back, who's a really talented forward. But the loss of John Gillen, who transferred to Syracuse, and nobody knew that that was going to happen, that's pretty significant for them. So they're probably somewhere around mediocre team in the conference. They could contend if they can get some pieces together, but it's a pretty mediocre team at this point. They can score the basketball, but they give up a lot of points, so we'll see what they do.
Yeah, looking at your top list, I think those are the only two players you have. Two top 10 players from your top 8, top 7, actually. Also, you know what I don't like about these games when you play games at home? That stupid backboard behind the sideline view.
Oh, yeah. What is that?
Is that going to be is that going to be fixed anytime soon? It's like, don't they have the little button to push it up to the height where it folds up?
Yeah, and we can't even forget about the stopwatches either.
Oh, jeez.
That Boise game is going to be nuts this year.
Do they not know how that works?
I don't know. That was so weird.
It's like, I get there could be technically a delay, but it shouldn't be more than like 0.1 from a hand time. You know what I mean? Like if when I was younger, I'd do the board or whatever when I was a swim coach or something, like do the stopwatch. How fast can I do it? I could get it down to like 0.13 or something. And that's me going fast, but starting it, like that's me from start stop. If I can start stop to like 0.15, I can start it within 0.05. You know what I mean?
I don't know what the final number was for the stopwatch game, but It was not pretty, and it was so blatantly obvious that Webb got the shot off in time. So that New Year's Eve game at Boise, that's going to be a pretty wild game. You'll see some signs, and you know the announcers will mention the stopwatch game.
Yes, every time. Is that game? Let's see. Is that game on TV on CBS? I think.
Let me check the TV schedule. It might be. Let's see.
Do you think while you're doing that? Do you think this is the point where tournament teams could be coming in, whether it's a CBI? What is there, CIT? Like the Rams might be on that bubble if they want to accept.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know if Eustace is the type of coach that accepts those. I know that New Mexico turned down the CBI last year. Some guys will only allow their teams to play in the NIT or NCAAs.
Yeah.
But I think they're right in that maybe CBI or the new, was it Vegas 16 tournament?
Vegas 8, you mean?
Yeah, was it Vegas 8?
No, it dropped out.
Oh, they switched it around, didn't they?
They couldn't get enough teams.
Yeah, that's right. They didn't have enough teams to come in and play for them. So the Vegas tournament, whatever that might be this year, maybe. I don't know if it's 8 or 16 or whatever it is. So one of those tournaments that it's just kind of for mediocrity, but it is what it is. I think Colorado State could be decent.
That's why Nevada went last year, because first-year head coach might as well do it.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, and they won it too. CBI.
Yeah, it looks like both games with Boise are on ESPN3. So
yeah, I see that too. ESPN3,
December 31st and January 31st. Now we get to move up a little bit. Let me go back to my list here. Utah State. I thought 6 was kind of low for them because Jalen Moore is, besides having the best hair ever,
that afro.
Yes, he's. It's an extra 6 inches to block something or get in a guy's face.
Exactly.
But like he wanted to test the NBA waters, which I think is a great deal, where he can go to the combine or get workouts and then come back. I think 6 is too low for them. I know it's only him, really. There's not a ton around him, and they're still working with Tim Dury a year two. But I think they could even improve even more because obviously he's a scorer and probably can be one of the best, contend maybe for like player of the year, possibly, if things go right.
I think so too. I like their backcourt as well. They've got Shane Rector, who's a senior this year. He statistically wasn't great last year, but he could have a solid season. And they also have a really good freshman in Kobe McElwain, who I believe was a 5 or 4 star, and Julian Pierre as well. So those are all three talented guards in the backcourt. And I've seen a few games of Utah State last year, and it seemed at times they would get that mentality of maybe standing around a little bit watching Jalen Moore play. You know, some teams, they have a star player and they get a little passive and just want to let the star player score. So hopefully that's not the case this year, because this could be a really good team if they can work together. They've got a lot of talent.
Imagine if they had David Collette as well, because that was a nightmare
last
year.
He left right before the season last year.
That was the weirdest thing ever. I make sure he's now up at the Utes for Pac-12 stuff. But I think this team, I don't think they'll win the conference or even win the division, or not division, but conference tournament. Mm-hmm. But I think they're playing at Logan. I know at the Spectrum, it's not what it has been the past couple years, but it's still ridiculously hard to get to. You're playing altitude. It's just it's probably them in the pit are probably, well, and San Diego State are the best home crowds for any team in the conference.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I believe Mountain West ranked either first or second last year in home win percentage in conference play. So it's really, really difficult for teams to come in on the road and get victories.
Yeah, I remember when TCU's last year, they were awful and they still won a couple games at home against good teams.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, all right, let's move on then. They're probably, I think best case scenario is NIT for them. If they overachieve,
I think that's fair. They should make it to the NIT.
Okay, so they're the six teams. So Boise State, my favorite player is Nick Duncan, because he's just a dude who chucks it. Mm-hmm. I remember being at the Mountain West tournament 2 years ago. I'm like, really? He plays college basketball?
That's what a lot of people think too.
And he's good at playing college basketball. He could shoot it from three. He's just your neighborhood dude who could chuck it and he scores. And defensively, he sets a big pick, or not defensively, but picks and screens. He gets in the way. Mm-hmm. He's just a guy where, do you think he's their best player? I'm assuming you ranked him the highest, so I assume that's a yes.
Yeah, I think he's their best player, and he's really good shooter. And although you see his body type, he's really not that tall and somewhat chubby, but he's an exceptional defender too. He usually takes on the opponent's top post guy, who could be anywhere from 6'10 to 7 feet tall, and usually does pretty well against them. So he's a really talented player.
So where do you think, because Boise, they've lost a couple of guys like past couple of years. Josh Webb III, I think he's in the D League right now, because he got cut the last day with the NBA team that dropped 76ers, I want to say.
Yeah, it was with Philly.
Philly. How do you not make the Philly team, but whatever.
I don't know.
Too many guards. Ben Simmons or something. He wants all the minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
They've with Leon Rice, they've gotten so much better the past while. They're not a team where I think, oh, we're just going to beat Boise. Yeah, they're fifth, but I think the players on this team who've been around for a couple of years realize that, hey, we're pretty good. There's a reason we're on this team. And they've had success in the conference the past few years. They lose a couple of guys, but like Anthony Drimmick and stuff. But I think they need – I don't think Duncan – here's the thing. I don't think Duncan can lead the way, because they need a more – again, sorry to put this out there, but athletic guy running the floor and stuff. You can't just have him chug in going 8 of 14 from three-point range or something, even if he makes all of those or something. I just think they need that, and I don't – was Chandler Hutchinson going to be a guy that can maybe do something like that?
I think they have two guys that could really break out and make this a good season for Boise, and that's Chandler Hutchinson and Paris Austin. And these are both two top recruits. I think they're both the highest recruits at the time for Leon Rice at Boise. And Paris Austin, super athletic point guard who doesn't have much of a jumper, but he's really good at attacking the lane, and Hutchinson too, very athletic. So the key for Boise last year was their exceptional passing team, and that's why they took so many threes, because they could go in and out, drive and dish. And I don't know if Boise has the same sort of personnel to be shooting as many threes as they did last year. So I think we'll know how good this team is by the end of November, because they have a really, really challenging non-conference schedule. And I think it's mainly due to the travel. I counted at least 10,000 miles that Boise has to travel through non-conference play. So they have to go to Oregon. They have to play SMU. They have the Charleston Classic down in South Carolina. And they also have to head to Indiana. So they're all across the map. So we'll know early how good this young team is. And I think Leon Rice knows that.
All right, so moving up the list, next is a, what, Fresno State? Four, this is number four in the conference. Were you surprised they got a first-place vote from somebody?
I don't know who that was.
I wish I knew as well.
Maybe it was Matt.
No. We did not get a vote this year because you had to be present to get a vote. So we have not been able to make it down there. We're invited. We could go, but you had to be actually in person to get a vote. So maybe a guy from the Fresno B, but you lose Marvell Harris.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to replace that production? Maybe Torrin Jones, because he's first year back after Missouri. He played last year, did okay, about 10 points a game, 25 minutes, nothing impressive. Rebounds pretty well. Is he the guy that could step up to maybe, I know he's a power forward, so the same type of play won't be there. Is he the next guy up perhaps to make some noise?
I think Torrin Jones will play a big part. We also have Paul Watson and Colin Russo. These are all front court guys that usually play about small forward, power forward. I think they all can finish maybe around 8 to 10 points a game. Solid players. The biggest concern for Fresno is two players that are ineligible, and that's Karachi Edo, who's their key forward down low. He's got good size. Check that, he's 6'6". It was really big or it was really small. But he's a good rim protector, but he's out, I believe, until January. He has eligibility concerns. And they also had William McDowell White, who is a 5-star from Australia, point guard. And he, too, is out for eligibility concerns over his academics. So
see,
those are two big losses.
Is he for the year, or they're still working on it for the semester, maybe?
There really hasn't been many updates, but I think it's for the semester right now. I know Karachi Edo's out for the semester, so that's at least until January. But there's a possibility McDowell White might not even play this year.
That's tough, because I remember him getting picked up. It's like, Fresno got this guy? How did this happen?
Yeah, exactly.
So if those two guys aren't playing, I'm wondering, was that known before Media Day? Because I think the Australian guy was known before.
Yes, that was known. Karachi Edo was November 2nd, maybe. So that was very recent.
Last week,
and that's a big loss for them.
Okay. All right, so let's move on to New Mexico. I think this the top three teams, New Mexico, Nevada, San Diego State, are the clear front runners, I think, especially with Fresno now down a couple of guys.
Mm-hmm.
I like, because your number one player was a Lobo on our list.
Yeah, exactly. New Mexico's got a really talented team, and I think any of these three teams can finish first in the conference. I really like Elijah Brown. He's a good scorer, gets the free throw line a ton, even though it's fairly controversial. A lot of people like to call him a flopper, but I mean, if he can do it, he might as well use it to his advantage. So Obija Jett, he's good down low, 7'1". Tim Williams is also preseason first team All-Mountain West.
Very good.
He's good for about 17, 18 points a game. So there's a lot of talent with New Mexico, even though they lost Colin Neal.
So what is that? Because he went to Ole Miss. Because he was hurt last year a little bit, but he seemed, when he was on, he was a pretty good player.
He was really good when he was good, but he was just incredibly inconsistent. And the New Mexico fans let him hear it, and that's why he eventually left campus. It was a really bizarre scenario.
So what would it take for this team to maybe overpower Aztecs or even Nevada?
I don't know if they can get by San Diego State. It'll be interesting to see how they match up. I think that San Diego State has the defense to limit Elijah Brown. I think against Nevada, they're pretty good standing. I think that Elijah Brown can score in bunches, so he'll be the team leader, and he can win games just all by himself in the last 5-6 minutes of games. So I think this New Mexico team is really good, and they should be able to contend for the NCAA tournament, and a lot of others think so.
With Bryant there, I think this team kind of compares to Fresno last year just because of how many points he can score.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he can get 25-30 a game some nights.
Because looking at who they play non-conference, it's okay. Like, UTEP's not too bad. Illinois State, they play New Mexico State twice, which there varies. But then they get Arizona on December 20th. That's going to be a big one there. And I think they have enough opportunities to get some good wins non-conference play to be in the running. But I still think with the league being down, or perception of it being down, they need to probably finish at least second in the conference and beat Split versus both Aztecs and Nevada, because I believe they play them both twice, if I'm correct.
Yes, they have them twice. Yeah. Last game of the season, they're playing home against San Diego State, so that could be a really big game.
It could be. There we go. And then they play them January 1st. That's a big gap. January 1 to March 4th.
Yeah, that's almost one more game, and that would have been as large a difference as you could find.
Pretty much. All right, so second place, or preseason second, the Nevada Wolfpack, Eric Musselman. Everybody loves Musselman for basically turning the team that people thought would finish. Do you remember what they were last year? They were pretty low preseason, I would assume.
Preseason, they were, I want to say, eighth. So they really overperformed.
So what did he do? Like, what do you think he's the reasoning he's doing so well? Besides having that NBA experience as a head coach, what else is it? I know they got a lot of transfers, and I'm thinking part of it, at least this year, could be a reason. He knows how to get guys to the NBA. So guys who are close or think they can, they're going to come to Nevada to get that opportunity to learn from a former NBA coach.
Yeah, and he's been able to bring a lot of talent that's not even necessarily going to be ready this season. They've got Kendall Stevens, the Purdue transfer, coming in. They've got both the Martin twins. I believe they're from
North Carolina State, I want to say.
Yeah, that's right. They're from NC State. Mm-hmm. So this team is absolutely loaded, and they're extremely deep at each position. So I think that Nevada could legitimately challenge San Diego State. The biggest concern for them this year is whether or not they'll be able to shoot the three ball. They finished 342nd last year, I believe, in three-point percentage. But with incoming transfer Marcus Marshall from Missouri State, who is an exceptional three-point shooter, he should really help out.
And this year, too, part of it was a genius by having a pretty soft schedule. Their schedule's non-conference, not great, but it's improvement because they open up against St. Mary's on the road, which, yeah, St. Mary's not leaving California. What's new with that? But they,
yeah, exactly.
I think last year they went out of state four times, and two of those were conference games versus Gonzaga and BYU. Something ridiculous like that.
Yeah, that's why I missed the tournament too, even though they had maybe 26 wins.
Soft schedule and played all in state or all at home.
Yep.
But they play like St. Mary's. They got Oregon State, which, whatever you think of them, they're okay.
It's a decent game.
Iona's a pretty good team. They usually are out there in the MAC. And then they go to Washington, and UC Irvine can be interesting, or Santa Barbara. Some of those Big West teams have a little bit of spunk with them to what they like to do there. So looking at who think of the play, they probably really could maybe lose only two non-conference games, I'm thinking. Like probably at Washington, at St. Mary's. Everything else, I think they could win.
Yeah, and it's not even a bad schedule for them. They have a lot of teams that could potentially make runs for NCAA tournament bids. St. Mary's will be in. Oregon State is probably a fringe team. Iona is always decent. Oakland was good last year. Washington may be on the verge. And UC Irvine is usually pretty good in the Big West. So Nevada, this schedule is really good for them because they have a number of games that they can win, but they're also not a really soft schedule like some other teams have in the conference. So winnable, and also against teams that should be able to make the tournament. They have maybe two, three, four teams that should be in the field of 68 next season.
For sure. And then conference, they end on CSU, who they play once. So that's kind of the unbalanced schedule is just odd, but you got to do it with 11 teams. Anything else we need to add, or should we just move on to the front runner?
Yeah, might as well.
Aztecs. Number one team in the conference, again, in basketball and football, and not baseball this past year, but the two big sports. Maybe they'll bring Calvin Munson back to pitch for baseball as a reliever again. But they are number one, and they weren't unanimous, as we said, because you had Fresno steal a vote. New Mexico had three, and none for Nevada. So they were second place without any first place votes. And not even close, 293 points to 253. Aztecs. Here's a problem with them, not to start negative, but they have a lot of injuries, and they start off versus, as we mentioned before, against the Toreros of San Diego, who they lost to last year at Petco. Weird game. Then they play Gonzaga, and if everybody's still hurt, I don't know, because that's like a game, if they're going to get at large bid, they kind of have to win against Gonzaga.
Yeah, that's a massive game for them, and Gonzaga, in my opinion, is one of the top teams in the conference, or in the nation, excuse me, and either that game or maybe the California game is a must win if they want to get an at-large bid. They can always go and win the tournament in March, but I think those two games are really big because besides that, you have a game against Grand Canyon, who's ineligible. It's a good low major team. San Diego, who they lost to last year at Petco, they have a bunch of games that they just can't afford to lose, and that was the case with the San Diego game last year. It just completely wrecked their RPI, and that eventually was the reason why they missed the tournament. So they have to capitalize on the chances that they have. I don't think many people expect them to win at Gonzaga, but if they play well and if they can take the win against California, who's a solid team, I think they're probably in fairly good shape.
Yeah, they also have Arizona State at home as well, so that's a pretty big one too. But like Alabama State, Grand Canyon's still not eligible? I thought they were eligible this year.
They're eligible next season, but they still have, I think, most of their scores back, and they won
The WAC last year.
maybe 27 games last year. So it's a good team.
Yeah, but it's in the WAC. Like, oh, I used to beat a WAC team. Who cares? But
Yeah,
yeah, don't lose.
that's how the tournament committee will see it. So.
But if they can win maybe Arizona, win two, I think winning two of the threes. Arizona State, Cal, and Gonzaga. I think it's doable, but the one's probably the Zags, where it's like, ugh, I don't know.
That'll be a tough game. Tough place to play too.
So, who was your best player for the Aztecs? Is it Malik Pope?
I believe I had it as Trey Kell, the point
Ooh,
guard.
Trey
He's
Kell.
really, really solid guard. He finished fifth in my rankings.
Fifth.
So that matchup against Nigel Williams-Goss, the guard for Gonzaga, will be pretty massive.
And here's the thing too, like we mentioned this because this is right, basketball, everything starts Friday. So if you listen to this, some games might be in the book. That's why we're kind of doing a generic thing. Gonzaga game's not until next week, but they've guys like Max Hoetzel, Valentine,
Azundu, yep.
Azundu, Ben Perez, all pregame scratches versus their wait, is that the oh sorry, their preseason game, sorry. I was looking at the wrong thing, but their issues Malik Pope pulled out of the game early on in the last preseason matchup. So if those guys are not 100%, like they should beat San Diego without those guys or limited time, but Gonzaga, they got to have everybody ready to go. If
Yeah,
not, no chance.
it's got to be all hands on deck for Gonzaga. I mean, Gonzaga is extremely deep as well. They have a number of incoming transfers that have scored over 15 points a game. So Malik Pope is huge for them, and we've said that the last three seasons, and maybe this is the year that he breaks out. Maybe it's this season. So Fisher's really hopeful that this is Pope's year, and I think it might be. So having him back for the Gonzaga game will be pretty huge because of Gonzaga's talented front court.
Yeah, it looks like it would be because an MRI last weekend and then one on Tuesday because Fisher's like, just to be sure, no structural damage. So it seems like he'll play. Maybe they'll hold him out a little bit versus San Diego just to be cautionary because they don't need Pope to win that game, even though they lost last year. But like Fisher didn't want to talk about McDaniels, who's out. They have a lot of guys who are just kind of banged up. And so I think they're going to need the backups to play well for San Diego and then versus Gonzaga. Hopefully everybody's well enough to basically go full strength because it's.
Yeah, they'll probably be limited against San Diego, but it sounds like most of these guys are questionable, just banged up, as you said. So they should be ready to go for Gonzaga because that's probably their biggest game the whole season.
Yeah, it's part of the ESPN Monday night, not Monday night, the well, it is Monday night, but the 24-hour marathon. Do you watch most of that, or how do you proceed?
I'm going to try to this year. I don't have any class next day, so that should work out. But the Gonzaga San Diego State game for sure. That starts at 9
Pacific.
my time, so that'd be fine. Some of the games that are about 1 a.m., 3 a.m. probably aren't too huge. So
Hawaii, Big West team, something like that. West California teams.
They have a Hawaii game and then another game between two lesser teams. But the College Hoops Marathon is awesome. I wish they would do something like that for college football. I don't know logistically if it makes any sense, but that would be fun to watch.
Probably could do a little bit, I think. Maybe not all night because getting up for a 6 a.m. football game is pretty brutal.
Yeah, true.
Even basketball is. I don't know. That's, but you would think, I don't know. It'd be fun because you could have Hawaii go late because there's 1 year. When they beat Colorado 2 years, oh yeah, 2015, the game started. Normally they start midnight on the East Coast. This game started like at 1 a.m. on the East Coast, so, and they really could push it back farther because it's a 6 hour difference. So they could do like a even a 8 p.m. kick local in Hawaii. That's 2 a.m. Maybe.
Possibly.
Just
And
kidding.
so many of these games end so late anyways. We have the 7 p.m. local start times. They don't end till 11.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's different for basketball. They're not nearly as long, but
It would
you
be
have some games
fun.
like that.
That would be a good one. Or the weather delay games. But all right, so anything else we need to add? Like, what's your prediction for the season? Like, let's kind of go through that really quick. Who's your conference champion projection?
So I still have San Diego State. Nevada fans won't be happy about that. But I think this is SDSU's conference until another team proves otherwise. I think Nevada will probably make the NCAA tournament. I think they'll at least be on the bubble. New Mexico's maybe fringe. I think Fresno, Boise, Utah State, all those guys will probably finish in the middle, and San Jose State, Wyoming, will finish in the bottom. But the Mountain West should be improved this year. I think there's a possibility that they get multiple teams into the tournament, but non-conference play is just so huge, so they have to capitalize on the big games that they have early in the year.
So what's your final say for NCAA teams? Aztecs and who else?
I think San Diego State will finish, I'd say maybe a 7 or 8 seed, and I think Nevada will be in maybe as a 12.
Okay. I think there'll be at least 2 this year. I do think those top 3 teams have a good chance. But again, like I said, non-conference, even if it's bad, you got to just win and win. Because none of those teams are in tournaments, correct? I don't think so.
I'm pulling up Daubertine's conference tournament list. I don't believe so right off the bat.
Yeah, we will mess with that later. I don't think, looking through a schedule, because I don't see that being the case. Because usually that could be, well, there's a neutral site, Cal San Diego State. Maybe that's part of the Las Vegas thing? Or Southern Miss game,
that's
maybe?
That's just a single matchup, I believe.
Okay, I just see the star where it's a neutral site game.
New Mexico has the Wooden Legacy down in Anaheim. That's usually a fairly good tournament.
That could be a good one, too. So we'll watch out for that stuff. We'll make sure to start having basketball stuff. So really quick, to play it out for the non-conference, if your team's playing Wesleyan or some school along those lines that does not have a logo on the ESPN website, like San Diego Christian, don't expect any coverage, really. I apologize, but it's not worth the time to do that.
So, let's hope those games aren't interesting either.
Yeah, only way it's interesting is if you win by 50 points. We don't want it the other way. So we'll have some coverage up here and there. We already have the South Alabama UNLV game because we have a plethora of Rebel writers, which helps out a lot. So look for that stuff. We'll have a Gonzaga preview, obviously, St. Mary's this week. And look for basketball stuff. I know it's football. We have a lot of football. Jeff Tedford, but we won't get into that, but that's our preseason show. So check it out. If you like this podcast, it'll be with our normal feed. So you'll get football and basketball mix, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio. Put in the RSS feed to your favorite podcast app. Do you have a favorite podcast app, Eli?
Not really. I'll go on the podcast on the iPhone and listen to CBS Sports, College Hoops, or NBC Sports. So.
Okay, I go with Pocket Cast because I can make it 1.2 speed, and it works great for me. Because I have a lot I listen to, so that's why I kind of speed it up a little bit.
There you go.
All right, but that's our show for today. So whenever you're listening to this, we appreciate it. And our website, one more time, mwcconnection.com. And I think we might do this maybe every week.
That sounds good.
We'll see, about once a week or so. So if you clamor for it, great, but probably about once a week or so. And we'll keep it rolling, and probably if we do it every week, it'll be after that Gonzaga game sometime late next week, but we'll figure out some sort of schedule where it's semi-regular and basketball's here, and let's just be better this year. Be better, Mountain West Conference.
Please.
Right? Please be better.
Please.
All right, and like we end every show, yes, we're biased against your team.